children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
Watch me. is an awesome way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Herod, do you really believe the Israelite religion?
A silly question.
Why is it so silly?
I am a Roman by birth, by education, by belief, by choice, by any standard you wish to name.
Then why do you pretend to be an Orthodox Israelite?
To please the people and my vanity.
I wonder if the priests and rulers believe you truly are an Orthodox Israelite.
Why do you ask?
Because you've come a long way since those days when you were but a superintendent of markets at Tiberias.
I certainly have. First, I was made ruler over a small territory north of the Sea of Galilee. My next move was a wise one.
It could have resulted in your death instead of further promotion.
One has to take chances to get ahead.
But he was your uncle.
Take chances and be ruthless. That's my motto. And it has gotten me kingship over all the territory ruled by Herod the Great. The Israelites like and trust me. So does the Emperor Claudius.
You are, admittedly, a wise man and king. And a good husband.
Thank you, Queen Cypress. Oh, you are a wise queen. A little devious at times, but wise just the same. Now, what is it you really came to see me about?
His Majesty is very perceptive. It is my opinion, if His Majesty will permit me to state my opinion.
Of course. Go ahead.
It might be wise to do something to prove His Majesty is on the side of his Israelite subjects.
Oh, that is a wise suggestion, worthy of consideration. You have any ideas of what I might do?
I couldn't begin to have the excellent ideas His Majesty has.
Oh, yes, I'll think it over.
I am an officer in His Majesty's personal guards. Are you James, the brother of John?
Yes, sir.
Come with me. You are under arrest.
With what am I charged?
Are you coming or must my men drag you?
I'm coming.
Son of Zebedee, I sentence you to death by the sword. Take him away to prison.
Lord, hold this not to his charge, for he knows not what he does.
He said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm stupid. Kill him right away, now!
It was a well-timed and wise stroke, killing James, wasn't it?
It was, Your Majesty.
And what is the reaction of the people?
Well, it is obvious to those who are born Israelites that their king is truly an Israelite at heart, and they're happy. Will His Majesty help get rid of all the believers in Jesus of Nazareth?
There are a lot of them?
Oh, thousands, and increasing daily.
Which one is the most dangerous? Which one would you get rid of if you could?
Oh, no doubt at all. Peter. Simon Peter.
Oh, I've heard of him. He's their leader, isn't he?
Well, they claim Jesus is their leader, but Peter actually is.
Is he in Jerusalem?
Yes, Your Majesty. He just got back from Antioch.
I must make my subjects happy.
Now is a good time to do it, Your Majesty. It is the time of the Passover, and everyone that is anyone is here in Jerusalem. Your Majesty, may I make one request?
Oh, make as many as you like. I don't have to honor them.
Our people applauded His Majesty for executing James. Some of them, of course, complained of the private manner in which it was done. A public execution would have more thoroughly intimidated the believers in Jesus.
I shall make his execution a grand affair.
Peter's?
Peter's.
The people are here from all over the world for the Passover. To lead the veteran Peter out for execution before that many people might move them to pity. It seems wise to wait until after the Passover and then publicly execute him.
It shall be done, Your Highness.
Simon Peter?
I am Simon Peter, yes.
I am an officer in His Majesty's personal guards. You are under arrest. Come along.
His Majesty is charging me with what crime?
I am an officer who obeys His Majesty's commands, not question them.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
Oh, and to what may I attribute this visit of His Highness?
Peter is in prison.
A stroke of genius, don't you think?
If you do not give him a public trial.
Oh, such a popular figure as Peter almost has to be tried, doesn't he? Or the people might object.
On the other hand, Your Majesty, if he is given a trial and gets up to defend himself, he may give one of those powerful appeals which have frequently aroused the people, and which we at the temple have been unable so far to controvert.
Upon one pretext or another, I'll delay the execution until after the Passover. Yeah,
thank you, Your Majesty. Long live the king. Long live the king.
It appears that Peter isn't going to be put to death immediately as James was. This will give the church, as individuals and as a group, time to search our hearts, confess our sins, and make everything right with God and our brothers. Then pray without ceasing for Peter. We have reached a place where, without the special help of God, the Church of God may be destroyed. Let us pray earnestly, without ceasing, and in faith.
First comes the high priest, now his father-in-law, the ex-high priest. Speak up, Your Highness, for I know you have something special on your mind.
Your Majesty, I wished only to remind you that the last time we had Peter in prison, he escaped.
Someone let him out.
Well, anyway, he got out.
He won't this time. I took double precaution. Come, come, let me show you why I know he will not escape or be let out this time. Captain, escort us to the prison cell of Peter. Here it is. It is a single cell hewn out of solid rock. There are three doors, each strongly bolted and guarded by two soldiers, one outside and one inside. Captain, have this door opened. I want His Highness to hear it. Even if all the guards were asleep, the sound of the door opening would awaken them.
Anyone sleeping through that must be dead.
Exactly. And the second door is exactly like this one, very noisy and guarded by two soldiers. The prisoner himself is inside still another door in a small cell, chained to two soldiers. He can't even move without their knowing it.
When is the execution?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow at high noon, Peter will be dead. There is no way he can escape. Absolutely none.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Jacob made a meal and you had a deal. When Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Jacob made a meal and he knew he had a deal. When Esau saw the soup.
Hey Esau, come over here. Have I got a meal for you? You sure look hungry. Just smell that lentil soup. It's got onions and gravy, and I know it'll taste real fine. It'll only cost your birthright. Just sign on the dotted line.
Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Jacob made a meal, and he knew he had a deal. When Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Jacob made a meal and he knew he had a deal. When Esau saw the soup.
I bet you were.
worked up quite an appetite, stomping through the fields all day. Just drive up to my window, I've got fast food ready made. What good is a house and land that your birthright would supply? 'Cause if you don't get food in your belly real soon, you're probably going to die.
Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Jacob made a meal and he knew he had a deal when Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Jacob made a meal and he knew he had a deal when Esau saw the soup.
Oh, please now, brother Jacob, I'll do anything you say. For that little bowl of soup, I'll gladly sign my life away. But quickly, quickly fill that bowl, 'cause if you don't, I may lose control.
Jacob made a meal and he knew he had a deal
when Esau saw the soup.
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 It was nice of your dad to offer to drive me home.
No problem. As a matter of fact, now I can ask you a question about something that's been bugging me.
Okay.
Remember what the preacher at church said about praying last week?
You mean about how we should pray without ceasing?
Yeah, without ceasing. What's that mean?
Well, ceasing means stopping, so I guess he's saying we should never stop praying.
That's what I thought, but that's impossible. I mean, look at my dad. He's driving a car. If he closed his eyes and started praying without ceasing, we'd be in big trouble. And how about pilots in airplanes or doctors right in the middle of a big operation? You don't see them always praying.
Oh, Carlos, you don't stop what you're doing, kneel down and close your eyes to pray. You can just think a prayer while you're doing other stuff.
Think a prayer?
Yeah, like, let's say you're riding a bicycle and you look around and it's a really beautiful day. If you closed your eyes to pray, you'd probably run into a cow or something. So you just think, hey God, nice day, love the flowers.
Or if I'm taking a test at school, for instance, a history test.
Like the one we had today?
Yeah, I can just think, hello God, I thought I was ready for this test, but my brain is on vacation. So if you could just help me remember the answer to number 37, I'd really appreciate it.
That's the idea. Praying without ceasing means being able to pray anytime, anywhere. And by the way, the answer was Napoleon.
Napoleon! The Spanish guy.
French.
I think I need to pray more.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
If you're on your way to heaven, clap your hands. If your sins are all forgiven, clap your hands. Point to heaven in the sky, then shake hands with one nearby. If the Lord can satisfy, clap your hands. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. If you're glad that you're a Christian, clap your hands. If you're on your way to heaven, clap your hands. If your sins are all forgiven, clap your hands. heaven in the sky, then shake hands with one nearby. If the Lord can satisfy, clap your hands, clap your hands, clap your hands. If you're glad that you're a Christian, clap your hands.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you ever feel left out, like your friends want to be with someone else instead of you? What if you really needed those friends to help you solve a mystery? Chris and Maria discover an old safe in their grandparents' basement, but no one knows the combination. Who gave them money to build the cross above Mill Valley? Chris and Maria think the answer is inside the old safe. As they follow the clues, Chris learns some important lessons about friendship and jealousy, and about being a Christian. Chapter 4, Searching for Clues. The empty countertop didn't bother Grandma at all. The statue isn't missing, Chris. I put it in your backpack before I went outside so you wouldn't forget it. I didn't want it to get knocked onto the floor accidentally. You two were concentrating on the photo albums and didn't notice what I was doing. Or that I left, Grandma explained. Chris's face turned red. I guess it was pretty foolish of us to get so upset when we couldn't find Grandma or the statue, he thought. Maria, did you find what you were looking for in the photo albums? Grandma asked. Maria shook her head. No, I thought I remembered a picture of Great-Grandpa Archer when he wasn't wearing a beard. Chris didn't believe me. I thought it was a picture of him standing by the cross Pastor Hill was talking about. Grandma sat down at the table. Let me think. Now that you mention it, I do remember a time when Dad shaved his beard off. It was many, many years ago, and he let it grow right back. He always liked a beard. Do you remember the picture, Grandma? Maria asked hopefully. If there is such a picture, I don't remember it, Maria. I'm sorry. Seeing the disappointment on Maria's face, Grandma added, but I'll ask around. Maybe John remembers it. Chris knew Grandma was talking about her brother, John Archer. He also knew that the next day she and Grandpa were going to be leaving to visit Uncle John in Seattle, Washington, for the week. So you'll ask Uncle John if he remembers the picture, Chris asked. Yes, Maria chimed in, and if he has it, could you mail it to us? I think it might be a clue. A clue to what? Grandma asked. The combination to the safe? Maria and Chris looked at each other. Maria shook her head slightly. I'm sorry, Grandma. We can't say for sure right now. We're working on solving an important mystery. Two cars pulled into the driveway at nearly the same time. Chris looked out the window. Grandpa's home, he announced, and Mom and Dad are here to pick us up. Okay, I'll go wake Yo-Yo up, Maria said. Yo-Yo was still rubbing her eyes when Mom and Dad and Grandpa walked into the kitchen through the back door. Well, hi, sleepyhead, Grandpa said, picking Yo-Yo up and giving her a kiss on the cheek. Yo-Yo finished rubbing her eyes and smiled at Mom and Dad. Grandpa handed her over to Dad. Did you have a nice date? Maria asked Mom with a giggle. Mom smiled. We sure did. How was your evening at Grandma's? Great, Chris and Maria said in unison. Maria and I won hide-and-seek, Yo-Yo said. Then she went to sleep, Chris added. Before leaving for home, everyone gave Grandma and Grandpa a big hug goodbye and wished them a safe flight. Grandma remembered the box of clothes and had Dad carry it out to the car so he could take it to church next week. Don't forget to ask Uncle John about the photograph, Maria reminded Grandma. I won't, Grandma assured her. I'll ask him first thing. When Dad stopped at an intersection on the way home, Chris looked up at the hill where the cross stood. Glowing in the lights that shone on it, the cross made him feel happy that he was a Christian. He wondered how many people thought about what Jesus did for them by dying on the cross. Chris leaned over Yo-Yo so he could whisper to Maria. Since we have to wait to see if Uncle John has that photograph you're looking for, let's work on finding the combination to Great-Grandpa's old safe. Maybe there's a clue in there that will help us prove Great-Grandpa donated the money for the cross. Maria nodded her head. Okay. Then Chris placed his finger in front of his lips and shook his head to tell Yo-Yo not to say anything. Yo-Yo whispered, okay. Chris awoke with a start. Wow, what a weird dream, he said to himself. What a weird night of dreams. All night he had been dreaming about the safe. He jumped out of bed and headed to Maria's room. Maria, wake up! He shook her until she stirred awake. What is it? Maria asked sleepily. Chris sat down on the floor with his back leaning against Maria's bed. I've been tossing and turning all night, dreaming about the safe. Maria turned her table lamp on. What did you dream about? I dreamed we never found the combination. We looked everywhere, too. Well, we haven't even started looking for the combination yet, Maria pointed out. I don't think your dream is going to help us much either. Chris shrugged. I guess not. After eating breakfast and getting ready for school, he found himself at his desk, holding the statue again. As he studied it carefully, a sound told him someone was watching him from the doorway of his bedroom. What are you doing, Chris? Maria asked as she stuck her head in the room. Just looking at the statue. It's neat to have something of Great Grandpa's. It sort of helps me know him better, Chris said. When school was finally over on Friday, Chris grabbed Maria by the arm just as they got outside and pulled her toward the car. Come on, sis. Why are you in such a hurry? Maria asked. Maybe Grandma sent us that photograph you wanted. I've got a feeling she did, and it's waiting in the mailbox. Let's go then, Maria said, and raced Chris to the car. They both reached the car at the same time and tried to hop in the back seat, but Mom had three big bags of groceries sitting in the back seat, too. Chris pushed the bag so he could get in. On the other side of the car, Maria yelled, I've got to get in, too, Chris. Chris tried adjusting the bag so both he and Maria could get in at the same time. Finally, they were both able to get inside and close the door. When Chris looked up and told Mom they were ready to go, Yo-Yo was peering over the front seat at him and laughing. Buckle your seat belts, Mom said before she started the car. At home, Chris hefted the last bag of groceries onto the kitchen counter and shrugged out of his jacket. Yo-Yo was dragging a carton of milk across the kitchen floor. Is that the last bag, Chris? Mom asked. Chris glanced at it and nodded. Yup. Good. Thank you for bringing those in for me, Mom said. She leaned against the counter for a second. Maria, please put the groceries away for me. Maria started taking groceries out of the bags and putting them in the cupboards while Mom picked out the laundry soap and stain remover she had bought and headed to the laundry room. Chris started to go upstairs to make sure Yo-Yo hadn't messed with his statue when Maria grabbed his arm. Oh, no, you don't. You've got to stay and help me put these groceries away, she said. No, you have to put them away. I brought them inside, Chris retorted. Maria made a face. She was just about to argue when a voice in the living room started talking about their mystery.
Have heard today is a chapter of the Shoebox Kids, Book 4, The Missing Combination Mystery, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.